ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम 10th canto 90th chapter. We are beginning new chapter today. Summary of Lord Krishna's glories. Text number 1. Sri Shuka Uvacha. Sukham Swapuryam Nivasan. Dwarakayam Shriyapatihi. सर्वसंपत् समृद्धायाम् जुष्टायाम् वृष्णिपुंगवै सुखं स्वपुर्याम् निवसन् द्वारकायाम् श्रियपतिः सर्वसंपत् समृद्धायाम् जुष्टायाम् वृष्णिपुङ्गवैः। श्रीशुक उवाच सुखम् स्वपुर्याम् निवसन् द्वारकायाम् श्रियपतिः सर्वसम्पत्समृद्धायाम् जुष्टायाम् वृष्णिपुङ्गवैः। शुक उवाच सुखम् सपुर्याम् निवसत् समृद्धायाम् कृष्णायाम पुष्पंगवै। श्रीशुक उवाच माताजी श्रीशुक उवाच सुखम् स्वपुर्याम् निवसन् द्वारकायाम् श्रियपतिः सर्वसम्पत्समृद्धायाम् दुष्टायाम् विष्णुपुङ्गवै। श्रीशुक उवाच Shukadev Goswami said, Sukham, happily, Swa, in his own, Puryam, city, Nivasan, residing, Dwarakayam, in Dwarka, Sriyaha, of the golden fortune, of the goddess of fortune, Patihi, the master, Sarva, all, Sampat, in opulent features, samruddhayam, which is rich, jushtayam, populated, vrishni pungavai, by the most prominent of the vrishnis. We will read the summary of this chapter. This chapter describes how Krishna enjoyed with his queens in the lakes of Dwarka. It also relates the queen's ecstatic prayers in the mood of intense separation from him and summarizes the Lord's pastime. Lord Sri Krishna continued to reside in his opulent capital Dwarka together with his yadus and queens. He would enjoy sporting with his wives in the ponds of the palace grounds, squirting water on them with a syringe, being squatted in turn. With his graceful gestures, loving words and sidelong glances, he would enchant their hearts. In this way, the queens would become totally absorbed in thoughts of him. Sometimes, after playing with Lord's with the Lord in water, Hari Bol, they would address various. Sometimes after playing with the Lord in the water, they would address various creatures, Kurari, Chakravak, birds, the ocean, the moon, the cloud, cuckoo, mountain, river, and so on, declaring their great attachment to Sri Krishna on the pretext of commiserating with these creatures. Lord Krishna begot 10 sons in the womb of each of his queens. Among these queens, Pradyumna was foremost. Being equal to his father in all transcendental qualities, Pradyumna married Rukmini's daughter, and from her womb Aniruddha was born. Aniruddha then married Rukmini's granddaughter and begot Vajranabha, who was the only Yadu prince to survive in the battle of iron clubs at Prabhasa Kshetra. From Vajra descended the remainder of Yadu dynasty, beginning with Pratibhahu. The members of Yadu dynasty are virtually innumerable. Indeed, just to educate their children, the Yadus had employed 38,800,000 teachers. Before Lord Krishna appeared, many demons took birth in human families to harass the people of the world and destroy Brahminical culture. To subdue them, the Lord ordered demigods to descend into the Yadu dynasty, which then expanded into 101 clans. All of the Yadus recognized Sri Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and had unflinching faith in him while resting, eating, walking, and so on, which they often did in his company. They would forget their own bodies in their transcendental happiness. The 10th canto concludes with this promise of success for the sincere hearer by regularly hearing, chanting, and meditating on the beautiful topics of Lord Mukunda. With ever-increasing sincerity, a mortal being will attain the divine kingdom of Lord, where the inviolable power of death holds no existence. Hari Bol. So today there are 7 slokas. We will just, to save time, read translation of all of them together. Translation of these 7 verses follows. Shukadev Goswami said, "The master of the goddess of fortune resided happily in the capital of Dwarka, in the capital city called Dwarka, which was endowed with all opulence and populated by the most eminent Vrishnis and their gorgeously dressed wives. When these beautiful women in the bloom of youth would play on the city rooftops with balls and other toys, they shone like flashing lightning. The main streets of the city were crowded with intoxicated elephants exuding madha. Also the cavalry, richly adorned infantrymen, and the soldiers riding chariots brilliantly decorated with gold. Gracing the city were many gardens and parks with rows of flowering trees, where bees and birds would gather, filling all directions with their songs." Lord Krishna was the sole beloved of his 16,000 wives. Expanding himself into that many forms, he enjoyed with each of his queens in her own richly furnished residence. On the grounds of these palaces were clear ponds, fragrant with the pollen of blooming Utpala, Kallara, Kumud, and Amboja lotuses, filled with flocks of cooing birds. The Almighty Lord would enter the ponds and also various rivers and enjoy sportingly in the water while his wives embraced him, leaving the red kumkum from their breasts smeared on his body. Purport. One rule of poetic composition practiced by Vaishnava authors is Madurena Samapayet. A literary work should conclude in a mood of special sweetness. Madurena Samapayet. Samapayet means ending. Madura means sweetly. Sri Shukadeva Goswami, the most tasteful narrator of the transcendental topics, has accordingly included in this last chapter of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam a description of Lord Krishna's water sports in the attractive settings of Dwarka, following by the rapturous prayers of Lord's queens. Hare Krishna. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Yananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupak Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam is now beginning to conclude the 10th canto, which is the lotus face of Lord Sri Krishna, the ultimate happiness and joy for the soul to go through the charitra of Lord Sri Krishna, the personality of Sri Krishna and his pastimes, which are so much giving happiness and bliss to the heart, so much purifying, so much fulfilling, and so much giving perfection to the life. All the miseries of our life can be ended with narrating and listening and immersing ourselves with the pastime of the Lord. No unhappiness, no misery, no suffering is there in this world which cannot be ended by taking shelter of the leelas of the Lord, the name of the Lord, dham of the Lord. And all of us are suffering in this world. Nobody can claim that he is not suffering. Suffering is inevitable part of this world. And however we try to adjust and modify and intellectually do things, still suffering will come. We cannot escape because the karma is so powerfully active with the help of time, that everybody will have to go through the suffering. But in the middle of all the ocean of suffering, we have these beautiful pastimes of the Lord. And they are narrated in Ramayana and Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat, Srimad Bhagavat, and Garga Samhita, and Govinda Lila Amrita, and Anand Vrindavan Champu, and Gopal Champu. So many beautiful, wonderful pastimes of the Lord in such great details, that we have all the possibility of actually constantly being blissful. That is the whole beautiful part of it. And ironically, the miseries will go on at one side, but they will not be affecting us. They will just go on in their own accord with the power of time. They will continue to be going on the way they want to go on, by the will of the power of the Lord. But it will not affect us if we truly take shelter of the holy name and the pastimes of the Lord. And the holy name, to be able to chant constantly, is a big challenge, we all of us know. It's not so easy to chant the holy name constantly. But it is a little easier to be immersed in the leela of the Lord. It just catches the attention of the listener. If we speak philosophy, many people will just switch off in their brains. we tell the story of the Lord, intermixed with few lines of education, Upadesh. So sweet it is, so palatable, so tasty, so attractive. And people will stick on to the audience listening to the pastime. That's why in the forthcoming era, the only way of preaching will be Katha. Katha intermixed with Upadesh. And much more than that, in future there will be Sangeet and dramatics. These are the eternal methods of preaching in the past also, but they will be more and more effective in the future, because people will have less intelligence, less interest, more of maya, more of alasya. And in that situation, the dramatics will attract people, and into drama they will receive messages for their life. When somebody narrates the pastimes of the Lord with great love and affection, that will affect and touch their hearts and transform their lives. And philosophy will have to be always intermixed with these dramas and with this Sangeet and with this. Why Sangeet? Because if somebody gives a long story pravachan, most likely at the half of the lecture people will start sleeping. But if the Sangeet interspersed in between, some reciting of shlokas, some singing in between, immediately people will wake up and respond to the songs of the Lord, and again get into the pastimes of the Lord. So, Katha interspersed with singing in between beautiful shlokas and songs of the Lord and acharyas will be the powerful method of preaching, should be in future. Nonetheless, we are blessed with the association of Shukadev Goswami, who is now very beautifully coming to the conclusion of Krishna's pastimes and Krishna's chapter, that is 10th canto, Skanda. And I was just thinking that it is 10th canto ending. That means it must be 6th day ending of the 7-day katha of Sukadev. And nobody has slept, nobody has eaten anything. There was no tea break, there was no lunch break, there was no sleeping break, there was no Naisargik Vega break. There's no breaks at all. And still, such beautiful poetic description is coming out. That is also the proof that the body may be suffering with the pangs of hunger and sleep and the vegas. But immersion in the Lord's pastimes is making one transcendental. Not only Shukadev, who is a speaker, but also the audience who is there. Like Narad Muni is there, Bharadvaj Muni is there, Vasishtha Muni is there, and Vyas Muni is there. Everybody is there. They all are simply immersed. They have all gone beyond their bodily activities. I mean, the vegas that bind us. So it's actually a beautiful thing. In other places, Srimad Bhagavatam is spoken, like Uddhava has spoken to the wives of Krishna. Shiva has spoken to Parvati. Vyas Muni has spoken to his wife. Then Vyas Muni spoke to Shukadev around 2-3 occasions. That time there was no time binding them, or there was no pressure, or there was no target. It was free discussion. But this is a time-bound discussion. And also because of time-bound discussion, there was not supposed to be having any breaks in between, because this time was of essence. They bound with time. But still, the artistic speaker, the poetic speaker, the eloquent speaker, the expert speaker is presenting the whole thing in such a beautiful way. Like there is one topic to be spoken in 15 minutes, that topic can be spoken in 2 hours, or the topic can be spoken in three hours. But speaking the topic in 15 minutes is extremely difficult. But you have to really do a lot of circus to accommodate all the important points. You don't have liberty of narrating and elaborating on every point. So here we see in this chapter, Sri Shukadev Goswami is really beautiful, very beautifully, poetically describing the beautiful pastimes of the Lord. Very intimate pastimes of the Lord. Sometimes, I'm sure the speakers will have difficulty in giving purports and lectures. Such kind of verses are there in future days. So, we recently visited Dwarka in the end of December with 300 devotees and saw the glory of Dwarka actually. How wonderful Dwarka is. The Brijvasis say, why to go to Dwarka? Because Sri Krishna lives eternally in Vrindavan. He plays flute there, wears peacock feather, wears forest garlands and vannamala, and puts lilies on his right ear, and leaves of the trees, decorates himself. Why we have to go to Dwarka? Because he doesn't play flute there. But still, wherever Lord Sri Krishna goes, there is spiritual bliss. Whoever is around him will feel that spiritual bliss. The rasa may be different, but the essential baseline blissful experience will be always there. And people will be accordingly around him depending on the place. So who is around him in Dwarka? There are Vrishnis, Pandav Vamsha, whatever Pandava is coming from. Yadavas were there. There's so many relatives he had. And all of them lived very happily in Dwarka. And the basic reason for creating Dwarka was to compassionately protect the kinsmen, the Mathura Vasis, who are Krishna's Prajajan, and to protect them from the onslaughts of regularly attacking demons like Jarasandha, for example. Sri Krishna created Dwarka overnight. The most amazing thing in the process of creating Dwarka was that everybody slept in their houses in Mathura. And all of them woke up in their new house in Dwarka. That's a wonderful thing actually. In today's 11 months rental situation, which generally happens changing in month of May, which is very hot in Mumbai and sweaty, and everybody is shifting their luggages. It's so painful, you know. But here, when you are with Krishna, everything becomes so blissful and joyful. You have to just be with Krishna actually. Just be attached to Krishna. Just be his devotee. Just take his shelter and live your life to him. He'll make things so easy for us. I remember when I purchased a house, there was so much of delay. And I was wondering why Krishna is making me so much. And then he gave me a much, much better house in much lesser cost, with a flap of a second. So Giriraj Prabhu was telling me, as you are waiting for 3 months and negotiating, nothing is working out, it's so frustrating, but I'm sure there's something much, much better in store for you. And then I was so much happy to see that our house is supposed to be meant serving Krishna actually, with Krishna in the center. The life is supposed to be at the lotus feet of the Lord, offered as an offering. In that situation, Sri Krishna will take even minute nitty-gritties of your life. He will take care of those things. So here the Dwarka, the Mathura Vasis are fully the shelter of Krishna. They are looking from in, just they peep out of the window and the war is going on. It's not that war is going on the war field. It just you peep out of your window and on the streets of the city the war is going on. And Facha, 24 Akshayavini of the Sena is attacking Dwarka, Mathura. Sri Krishna is fighting in the middle of the city only. It's like in the from Bharati Vidya Bhavan to Babulnath Gali, there's a war going on, you know, all the missiles and everything. How your life will be? Sri Krishna was quite concerned. So he said, now 18th time he is attacking, and only Kala Yavana also is going to come. He got the news. So he called Vishwakarma and overnight he ordered him to build Dwarka. And what kind of Dwarka? 9 lakh palaces which were built for only ministers and officers and big guys who were holding big official positions. And special palace for Krishna on a special confidential area in Dwarka. And Lord Krishna had a meeting, emergency urgent meeting with Samudra, Varun Dev, and told him to release some land, reclaim some land. 125 square kilometers of land was reclaimed, and which had 1000 kilometers of parikrama. That much area was created by Varuna Dev for Sri Krishna's pleasure. And there was some part of Dwarka already as an island existing there, because Anartha, the son of Shariyati, had performed tapasya, and Lord Krishna had appeared, Vishnu had appeared to him and given him space in the ocean. His father has kicked him out of his kingdom. He said, you cannot stay in the land owned by me. please get out, I don't like you. There was some dispute. So he had to go in the middle of the ocean and do tapasya. And then Vishnu appeared. He said, give me space. So Vishnu created space in the ocean, which was not owned by his father. And that was called as Anartaka Kshetra. That was already existing. Around that, Sri Krishna claimed 125 square kilometers of area. And there, Vishwakarma built 9 lakh palaces, Sri Krishna's special palace, and 16,108 palaces later on. As Krishna got married, the palaces were created, and then at one shot, 16,100 palaces were created when Sri Krishna killed Narakasur and got 16,100 wives. It is also so beautiful that when Sri Krishna got those ladies and they said, we cannot have any existence in the material world, they will have to commit suicide because nobody will accept us as wives. Our fathers will not accept us as daughters because we are now contaminated. So we have only one way to commit suicide. So Sri Krishna not only saved their lives, but gave them a position of respect and dignity as his wives. And Satyabhama had gone on the tour because Narakasura had stolen the earrings of Aditi and Singhasan of Varuna and Chhatri of Vayudev. So she wanted to, he knows we have to go back to Swargaloka in Amravati to give back the earrings of Aditi. So he said, you come with me. So you will be instrumental in giving those earrings back. So she was accompanying. So when she saw that Sri Krishna is accepting those 16,100 queens, ladies as his queens, so she was observing on the chariot only. And Sri Krishna decorated them, offered them so much ornaments and beautiful kingly, queenly clothes. And they were bedecked with all these aristocratic, opulent dresses and ornaments. And 16,100 palanquins, which were decorated with jewels, carried by four men, were offered to each one of them. And they were sent on in those palanquins from that place, Prag Jyotishpur, to Dwarka. And there 16,100 palaces were built. The queens were led by Rohini, Queen Rohini, who were the leading queen of those 16,100. And then Sri Krishna went with Satyabhama to Swargaloka, you know, got the Parijata, came back, and then he expanded himself into 16,100 forms. And he got married with each of those queens in her own palace only. So there was 16,100 marriage ceremonies in Dwarka and in so many palaces with so much opulence was there. This is so beautiful actually. Sri Krishna didn't have 16,100 muhurtas. And one after another he had to catch up those muhurtas and he had to get them married. You know, simultaneously. With all the opulence, with all the audience was there, all the vidhis were performed, all donations were given, all feasts was there. Everything was so beautifully organized. We just have to imagine how it must have been at that time in Dwarka. At 16,100 palaces, all the instruments are being played and flowers are being showered, mantras are being chanted and garlands are being exchanged and there's Sindur Dan and there's Saptapadi and there are so many beautiful vidhis going on. And the witness, people who were witness were so fortunate to see Sri Krishna getting married so opulently. So, it is said that the Dwarka that was built by Vishwakarma, Puratan Dwarka, it was boat shepherd. And there were deep valleys on all the sides. Sharp, prickly barbed wires and tall mountains guarding it. There was a very extremely wonderful high-tech arrangements for protection because main purpose was to protect the Mathura Vasis from the attack. There were huge navy Krishna had created around the whole Dwarka. 8 big entry highways, and the most amazing thing was that it was like guarded with huge walls and there were 8 primary gates inside to go inside Dwarka. But there was, if you come from outside, it's only one wall. And there were supposed to be mantras as password. And if you chant the mantra, suddenly a big continuous wall will break into a door and it will open. And you go inside. And you go inside on chariot. And again it will become one wall. So today we are putting a biometric and putting thumb and so many things. There were mantras in those days. And mantras were given to all the valid residents of Dwarka. And whenever they would come, they would chant the mantra, and the huge wall will open as door and give you entry. Then, where the door, wall is, where the door is, in the whole Dwarka, it was very difficult to understand. So meticulously it was built. Two chariots could go at one time on the highway. There were 16 big crossroads. And the roads were nicely, you know, they were planted so many beautiful trees that always all the roads had nice shadows from scorching sun rays. The road had red, yellow, orange, dark white, dark and white flowers constantly spread all the roads. All the palaces had golden and silver canopies looking like many, many suns. Each canopy had carvings of golden birds and designs. It is said that whenever people would walk in Dwarka, they would see and feel that thousands of suns are rising just because of the jewels, the way they were arranged on the palaces. The sun would throw light on that, it will appear like millions of suns lightening the city. There were five different colored residential colonies were there. Three big forts inside the main area. And there was one big fort in the three forts which belonged to Krishna. And Krishna built a big Shiva temple in the main mountain at the central place of Dwarka. In Krishna's fort, there was big Leela Sarovar, very huge Leela Sarovar, where he would meet all the queens regularly. And there was a temple for Radha also there. Very uniquely a description comes. But Radha also came sometimes there to meet Krishna. There was a third fort. First fort, Sri Krishna resided. Second fort, there was a big Leela Sarovar and Radha Mandir. The third fort, Sri Krishna's weapon store was there, where Sudarshan in the form of weapon would stay there. And many different palaces were made for the queens. Please listen to the difference in each queen's palace. Rukmini had golden color palace. Satyabhama had white Sangemarwar, the marble color palace. Jambavati had Saptarangi palace, like Indradhanusha. Nagnajiti Lakshmana had fiery color palace. Nagnajiti had fiery, and Lakshmana had a palace which was colored like sun. Mitravinda had green color of palace. And other queens had natural settings of atmosphere, and the last palace was in Ashtasakhi's Bhadra's, was lotus shaped palace, and Krishna's palace was on the Baij Parvata, which was in center. There was deep network of secret roads in the whole Dwarka city, underground and above ground, and Sri Krishna's messengers would always be scrolling, like in this translation it is given. There were infantries, there were golden chariots, there were soldiers constantly scrolling in Dwarka city. And their chariot itself would look so gorgeous while they were doing scrolling and patrolling in Dwarka city. And the story goes like this, that the original Yadu, when we know as Yadu dynasty, that Yadu personality got married with five Nagakanyas from lower planets. And because he married five Nagakanyas, lot of Nagas started residing in Dwarka before Krishna came. Dwarka has a long history. If you go there, it will take long time. But nonetheless, because Yadu had Nagas as in-laws, for their pleasure, he installed one Shivalinga called Nageshwar Mahadev, which is a very, very much highly worshipped place, one of the 14 or 12 Jyotirlingas also. And Aryas, who are the Vaishnavas, who knew the progressive values of life, they trained those Nagas into Varnashram. They trained them as Varnashram Anuyais, and they resided together. Then when Sri Krishna came, there was a long situation is there. Kashyapa gave birth to Guhyaka, who was a Yaksha, who married to Rutusthala, and then gave birth to children, then their children, And then Bhishmak Putra, Rukmi, Rukmini's brother Rukmi, he defeated those Vamshajas of Kashyap Muni who were coming from Guyak and Rajatnath. And this Punyajani, there's one queen called Punyajani, who Rukmi defeated, her husband, and the very well developed Dwarka was got into ruins. At that time, Sri Krishna reconstructed Dwarka with the help of Vishwakarma. Dwarka had been lost all his great opulence. And that time, Sri Krishna re-established Dwarka. That is why Sri Vyasadeva refers to Dwarka as Punar Niveshanam. What do we call it as? Jandodhar, in one way. Punar Niveshanam. So Dwarka has a long history right from Satya Yuga. Right from the time where Anartaka performed tapasya. Then King Raivat also performed many yagyas over there, spreading Kusha asanas in the middle of the ocean. That's why that Dwarka in the middle of the ocean is called as Kushasthali. And then at one point of time, one great demon came, which was harassing everybody in that area. So Lord Brahma requested Vamanadev, who had already performed his pastime and gone to Sutala Loka as a guard, as a doorkeeper for Bali Maharaj. And Lord Brahma had to invite him, please come and help us. So Lord Krishna, who in the form of Lord Vamana Trivikrama, came from Sutal and killed one demon, that demon, and established one Shivalinga. He buried his body under that Tapu island. And over him, he established one Shivalinga called Kusheshwar Mahadev. And he gave benediction that whoever will come to Dwarka and will not take darshan of Kusheshwar Mahadev, he will give half the benefit of visiting Dwarka. So this Kusheshwar Mahadev is right in the middle, in the entrance on the right side when you enter Dwarkadish temple at the banks of Gomati River. And interestingly, this Dwarka, there are three types of Dwarka. One is called as Mool Dwarka. This Mool Dwarka is a place where Sri Krishna, after creating Dwarka, everybody was shifted overnight and woke up in Dwarka. So Sri Krishna Balaram travelled from Mathura and they rested in one place, and that place is called Mool Dwarka. It's about 100 kilometers from the Bet Dwarka. Bet Dwarka is that place where in the middle of the ocean there was some part already existing, and Sri Krishna claimed 125 square kilometers, that is called as Bet Dwarka, where actually Sri Krishna resided in the middle of the ocean. And there is something called as Dwaravati Dwarka, which is very interesting, which was built by Vajranath after Krishna's departure. And there is a history to that place also. That place is in the land. Krishna's Dwarka where he resided is in the ocean. And Mool Dwarka is also on the land, 100 kilometers away from these areas. So the story goes like this, that four Kumaras had performed tapasya at the bank of the ocean. Because everybody was worried that Sri Krishna is leaving, what to do? And he left also. And the four Kumaras performed tapasya. To respond to his tapasya, Lord Vishnu appeared from the ocean, gave him darshan. But before that, Sudarshan Chakra had appeared from the ocean, gave personal darshan, effulgent like millions of suns, and all the Kumaras worshipped him. And then they again put on meditation. And at this time, they requested Brahma in their meditation. And Gomati Ganga was sent from heavenly planets. Brahmaji requested Gangaji, please go with Vasishtha Muni. He will lead you where the Kumaras are performing tapasya. And there, Vasishtha led Gomati River, Gomati Ganga, to this ocean. As soon as Gomati was coming, all the rishis stood up, giving up their meditation, and welcomed. And these four Kumaras took bath. And there were so many rishis, they appeared over there, like Marichi, Atri, Angira, Pulaha, and Kratu. And Gomati River came in five different forms. Gomati, Lakshmana, Chandrabhaga, Kushavati, and Jambuvati. These are the five branches of Gomati. They all simultaneously appeared. And these branches went in front of this river on the rishis. And the rishis took bath in each. And today if you go, there are five wells representing these five rivers. It's called as Panchanadastali, which is very auspicious if you take bath or you drink this water of these five wells there. They're right at the bank of the ocean where you're supposed to get sweet, salted water. But all these wells at the bank of the ocean are having sweetest, differently tasting sweet water. And there are pandas who take out water and put on your body or make you drink those water. And one gets purified of all their sins and develop devotion in the heart if you visit those five kundas, five wells. And these five rishis resided there, performed tapasya and established Siddheshwar Mahadev, which is also a very auspicious form of Lord Sri Krishna, and established Bhadrakali Peet, which is now governed by Shankaracharya Ashram. So this is called Dwaravati Dwarka. And where Gomati met ocean came in front to meet Gomati. At that place, a very unique thing happens. This Chakra Chinnankit Shilas are appearing over there. Amazing Shilas, which has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, up to 15 and unlimited number of chakras on one Shila, which is white colored. And they are worshipable Shilas, like Shaligram Shilas. They are only found in that Sangam of Gomati and ocean. And five different kinds of jewels are also available at that very place where Gomati meets ocean. And when Gomati appeared, the four Kumaras took Achman and took bath and worshipped Gomati. And it's only by the blessings of Gomati river, later on Sri Vishnu appeared there and resided there eternally in the middle of the ocean. So Chakra resides over there. That's why it's called Chakra Tirtha also. And Krishna also appeared there. And Dwara is called Dwaravati. It's also appeared over there. So we have three Dwarkas. And then later on, when Sri Krishna disappeared from this material world, Vajranath came there and built this temple which you see today as Dwarka temple at the bank of Gomati. Very, very beautiful ancient temple. Extremely beautiful in the opulence and the carvings and the location. And there are about 26 temples in and around that area which are governed by the queens of Krishna, led by Jambavati, led by Satyabhama, led by Lakshmi and led by Radha. A very unique thing is there, very interesting to see there, even in Bet Dwarka also and even in Dwaravati Dwarka also, that the temples which are governed of the ladies, of the queens of Krishna, now the pujaris, when they serve, they have their dates. Okay, Friday from Satyabhama, Tuesday from Jambavati, Monday from Lakshmi, like that. And the pujaris dress up as women, as queens, put ornaments as queens and mukut and everything, and then take their thali from their temple to Dwarka temple to offer the food to Krishna. Such a beautiful bhav is there, where Lord, the queens, they are in the queen bhav, you know, Rani bhav, and that's how they serve today also. And there are vamshajas of those families of the pujaris who are supposed to worship Lord Krishna in the queen bhav. Hare Krishna. So this is Dwarka, and the reason, the name of Dwarka, there are many meanings. Dwar means entrance, and one of the meaning of Ka is Brahma. So it is the entrance where you can meet Parabrahma. If you enter the entrance, you will meet Parabrahma, Lord Krishna there. Also, it is a door. When you enter, you will be free from karma bandhana. So it is also called Mukti Dhamma, Mokshapuri, Dwarka. So this place, and also Sri Krishna and Balaram, is something called as Revataka Parvat. We have this pastime of Shankachuda, where Balaramji was playing with his girlfriends and consorts, and where this demon came, and then Sri Krishna and Balaram went, and Krishna killed that demon and brought the Shankha and gave it to Balaramji. This also happened in Dwarka only, because it has history of Revata king, who had the daughter Revati, who finally got married in Dwapar Yuga. She was from Satya Yuga, but in Dwapar Yuga she got married with Balaramji. So it is also called as Revataka Kshetra, Kushasthali. So also Dwarka is called as Pindaraka Tirtha, because when Mahabharata war was over, at that time so many, you know, millions of people were killed, and they were supposed to be undergoing Shraddha ceremony, and Arjuna had taken responsibility on behalf of Kauravas and Pandavas to do Shraddha Sthali, Shraddha for everybody. And he came to a place in Dwarka where Durvasa Muni had performed tapasya. And Durvasa Muni By his power of his tapasya, he created Pindarak Tirtha. Even if you read Bhagavatam, you will mention of Pindarak Tirtha is there. When Sri Krishna told Yadus to go, he told them to go to Pindarak Tirtha. Leave Dwarka and go to Pindarak Tirtha. In the whole, it is called Okha Mandal. Huh? Like we have Braj Mandal, and we have Vrindavan, and we have Nandaga, we have Kamevan, many vanas. But the whole thing is called, the auspicious place is called Braj Mandal. So Dwarka is that way called in a very all-encompassive way, called Okha Mandal. And it is said because of the wife of Aniruddha named Usha, from her Usha Mandal came up. And then later on Apabhramsha named as Okha Mandal. In the Okha Mandal, this Pindarak Tirtha comes. And Durvasa Muni, by the power of his tapasya, created such a unique thing over there that all the pindas offered to the demigods in the name of the dead ones would float in that water. So Arjuna came searching for the ideal place for doing Shraddha, and he heard about his pastime. So he, for a test, he put some pindas there and they all floated. So then he decided to perform all Shraddha ceremony of all the dead Kurus and Pandavas, one Pandava Vamsha, whatever, whoever died in that war from their side. Everybody's Shraddha was performed by Arjuna in that Pindarak Kshetra. There's also a place there. Then one time Durvasa Muni came to meet Dwarka, Dhish, Krishna and Rukmini. And he came on the land. And they were supposed to go to the Bet Dwarka. So he said that, take me to your place. So he said, okay. So he brought the chariot with horses. So Durvasa Muni said, no, I don't ride horse chariots pulled by animals. So who is remaining? Human beings. So Sri Krishna and Dwarka themselves attached to his chariot. And they were started pulling him. See how much Sri Krishna is subservient to his devotees. At the time of Rajasuya, he washed everybody's feet, all the sadhus. He offered his pitambar to mop their feet after washing. He sprinkled the water on his head of all the sadhus. He washed Sudama's feet and sprinkled the water on his and Rukmini's head and drank the water. He worshipped the devotees all his life. Wherever he went, he worshipped his devotees. So Durvasa Muni is a great devotee of the Lord. Now, he may be sometimes ill famous for giving curses and for his anger. But Durvasa Muni is a great devotee of the Lord. He only blessed Radharani for having been able to cook something which is Amrita Tulya Swad. And whoever will eat, he will be victorious all the while. He will be dear to everybody. So this is Durvasa Muni came to Dwarka, and then he started Rukmini and Sri Krishna started pulling him. And Rukmini is so komal, so delicate, and in the hot sun she was pulling, so she got tired and thirsty. So she told Dwarkadish Krishna that I'm thirsty, please give water. He said, there is no water, he has only ocean here. But Sri Krishna then, on her request, looking at her condition, he thumped the ground with his foot and created Charan Ganga. So that is a place called Charan Ganga Prakatyasthali. And he created water, like an ocean pond was created. And those Rukmini Devi nicely drank water and satisfied herself. She was so happy. But Durvasa was not happy. He said, how can you drink water in between of the time when you are serving me without my permission? So he got angry and he cursed that both of you will be separated in Viraha. You will be away from each other. That's why in Dwarka, Rukmini's temple is different. And Dwarkadish temple is different, 2-3 kilometers away from each other. And he said, no water in this land will be sweet, it will be salty only. So in the 30 kilometer area where we resided actually, in front of Rukmini temple, in 30 kilometer radius, there is only salty water everywhere. They had to bring water from beyond 30 kilometers and come there. So unique pastimes are there, but such a beautiful darshan of Rukmini Devi. And then there is that pond which Krishna created by his lotus feet. There is a well there. And there's a great mahatmya to go there, take darshan of Rukmini Devi and to drink water from that well. Very sweet water only in that area. And all of them, everything surrounded by blue, beautiful ocean. And such constant, sweet, cool breeze blows all the time. Such a rejuvenating, nourishing atmosphere in Dwarka. And also in the Okha Mandala, the last station is Okha, and then there is way to go to Bet Dwarka. And another area is there where last session is Veerawal, where there is Prabhasa Kshetra. And another beautiful pastime in Okhamandal is Krishna's and Yadu dynasty's disappearance Leela there. It took place there. And so many lessons to learn. Here the queens you see in this shloka and other shlokas in future, that how much they were absorbed in Sri Krishna. The essential aspect of Sri Krishna's Dwarka and the pastimes of Dwarka is the queen's service to Dwarkadish Krishna. And the absorption of Uddhava and like-minded Senapatis and other Yadus who stayed with Krishna. And how they lived their life completely absorbed in Krishna's service. But Braj pastimes are Madhurya absorption and Dwarka pastimes are Aishwarya absorption. But absorption is common. Whether Krishna comes in Dwarka form, Dwarkadish form, or Krishna comes in Vrindavan form. For us, the message is that we have to remain absorbed in serving Him. We have to keep ourselves at the lotus feet of Krishna. We are not having the choice. We are not the choosers that we want Dwarkadish Krishna or Vrindavan Krishna. Wherever we go, whichever form of Krishna comes in front of you, we have to take shelter of His lotus feet and keep our mind immersed in His pastimes. And that is why Sri Krishna's pastimes, Sri Krishna's queens were constantly in ecstasy with the company. When Narad Muni visited Dwarka, one which really mesmerizes me, the description is that it is said that from one side, Rukmini's palace was filled with ivory made furniture, which has got gold and jewels on the furnitures, and the pillars were bedecked with such jewels that there was no need of sun actually. The jewels itself lit the whole palace. And Rupa Goswami explains in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, when Krishna would walk here and there in the palace itself, he would see his image in those pillars and sometimes he would faint looking at his own beauty. Rupa Goswami explains in the opulence of Krishna's beauty description of that. And that was in Rukmini's palace. And there were so many bird-like carvings, there were so many designs, the canopies in the palace of Rukmini Devi. And when Narad Muni entered, he saw Krishna was very relaxedly, nicely relaxing on the couch and Rukmini was sitting next to him. And a beautiful thing was happening, that there was some mystic-like incense burning in the palace. And it was so thick that it had created clouds of smokes inside and outside, and a thick collection of rays were falling on the couch of Sri Krishna. And looking at that cloud of smoke, the peacocks were thinking it was rain cloud, and so peacocks were dancing in the courtyard of Rukmini's palace. You can see the beauty. You know, we may spend crores and billions of rupees and dollars here, but you cannot imagine the beauty of Rukmini's palace. I cannot imagine the beauty of Satyabhama's palace. What kind of opulence? What kind of water reservoirs, kundas and ponds were there? What decorations? What fragrance? Always it is said in Dwarka, birds were cooing constantly. Chakravaka, cuckoos and peacocks were making beautiful sounds. Constant music, buzzing honey bees everywhere, creating such joy to the ears and soul. And nourishing, keeping everybody away from all the miseries. And Sri Krishna was taking brunt of all the miseries when demons were attacking. He would alone come out with Balram, sometimes walking, sometimes on the foot, and have war at the outskirts of Dwarka. And he kept his kinsmen so happily ever after he built Dwarka. How much he cares, how much he considers his people who surrendered to him, who were supposed to be his prajajan, how much he cared for them. So after going to Dwarka, I understood that we have to become Krishna's actually. We have to become His people. He should consider us as His people. And then we will be all freed from all miseries of life. Whether we are Virakta or Grahast, whether we are renounced or family members, it doesn't matter. We will take shelter of Krishna. Then Sri Krishna is obliged to take care of those who are surrendered to Him. In all odd conditions of life, Sri Krishna will take care of them. But we should not just dwell in the miseries that we are going through and keep on cribbing and keep on going through and keep on going through and keep on going through, encircling ourselves and going round and round and round. We just get out when we are going to about to suffer or already suffering. just take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrut, Ramayan, Chaitanya Bhagavat, and so many beautiful pastimes, so many Puranas have, so many stories. Entertain yourself with those transcendental pastimes. We need to entertain with stories. Take the stories of these beautiful pastimes of the Lord and keep your heart constantly immersed in joy and happiness. No material misery will touch you. No guilt will touch you. No suffering will touch you. Nobody's bad words will affect you. Nobody's criticism will spoil your mind and mood. Just remain absorbed. Meditate in the morning and evening the beautiful pastimes of the Lord. Get up from the bed and think of Krishna and some wonderful pastime and start brushing your teeth. That is the secret of keeping ourselves away from the misery of the material world. Otherwise, if we forget Krishna and his pastimes, then misery is always awaiting us, right, left, center, front and behind. You are constantly enveloped. Go above it. Transcend it by taking shelter of Krishna's pastimes. If it is difficult to philosophize and to chant all the time, it will ultimately help us to chant all the time if we really take the nectar out of the meditation of the Sri Krishna's beautiful pastimes. And no need to renounce anything. No need to become renounced people. No need to become anything. Just remain as natural as we are, whatever propensity is, whether virakta or grahastha, and immerse ourselves. Because the goal of life for grahasthas and for the viraktas are not different. The goal of life for sannyasis and brahmacharis is same as those for grahasthas. So our garb may be different, but our soul has the same goal. We need to really immerse ourselves. So let us all, as 10th canto is ending, doesn't matter, we can go behind and read. And immerse ourselves in Braj Leela, in Dwarka Leela, in Hastinapur Leela, and whatever Leela Sri Krishna performed in the form of Nara Narayan, in the form of Jagannath, in the form of Sri Ranganath Maha Bhagavan. Just immerse yourself. There is so much of variety. It's not that you have one pastime, that you have to whole day, whole life, keep reading one pastime. Unlimited millions of pastimes are there to give you variety and variety of entertainment. But we need to take shelter of the Lord and immerse ourselves in the remembrance of the Lord. The secret and open formula of blissful experiences in the middle of the suffering condition of material life. Hare Krishna. So are there any comments, any questions? Anybody else? Dwarkadish Sri Krishna Bhagavan ki, Dwarka Dham ki, Mool Dwarka ki, Dwaravati Dwarka ki, Bet Dwarka ki, Sri Krishna Bhagavan Rukmini Dwarkadish ki. Thank you very much.